Well, I sure don't want to get ahead of anybody else, but the Lord's been talking to my heart this morning. I just want to share it with you. Thinking about some things, starting in Isaiah 32, verse 17. It says here, "And the work of righteousness shall be peace, and the effect of righteousness, quietness, and assurance forever. And my people shall dwell in a peaceable habitation, and in sure dwellings, and in quiet resting places." That is the heritage of the people of God. You know, righteousness doesn't come from us, does it? It comes from the Lord. And God gives righteousness, and the effect of it is that it brings peace, doesn't it? And it brings quietness and assurance forever. And it brings peaceable habitations and quiet and sure dwellings and quiet resting places. That's beautiful, isn't it? Comes from the Lord. I was thinking about the account of Noah. And back in those days it says the earth was filled with violence. You know what the reason for that was, don't you? Because they had forsaken the Lord. And their hearts were only given to wickedness all the time. The thoughts of men's hearts, I believe it says, were only evil continually. And the effect of that was that there was violence in the land. And there was the earth was filled with violence, it says. And you know, we see that today. We see the effect of things. We see where people cast off the Lord. What happens? Violence comes in, doesn't it? Problems come in, troubles, those things. And so the Lord wants us to look to Him as our righteousness. And when we do that, the effect of that brings peace. And it brings those things that we so long for. People all through the ages have sought for peace. They've sought for things to be right. But you know, when things are right is when God is supreme. And that's when it's right. That's when the Lord gave the children of Israel, He gave them their victories when they sought Him with their whole heart. And when they were turned to Him, and when they loved Him, then the Lord gave them peace in their land, didn't He? And time after time, when God's Spirit would withdraw, and the Lord would bring judgment on people for their wickedness, we find turmoil, we find wars, we find troubles. And so this morning, I just want us to look and kind of work our way through the Scriptures a little bit. And look at some of the things that the Lord has given us. Folks, you know, we have the guidebook here. We've got the Word. We've got the Word that guides us and that leads us. And so, we have something really valuable. I want to look at James 3 and 18. And it says here, "The fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace." Do you know that the fruit of righteousness, that thing that God gives us, it is sown. Its seed is sown in peace of those that make peace. It is from the children of God that the fruit of righteousness is sown, and that it begins to be so. I was thinking about fruit. In a number of places, the Scriptures talk about fruit, and it talks about the fruits of the Spirit, and it speaks of, we'll read that in a little bit, and it speaks of in John 15, it talks about the vine and the fruit there. Those things are really, what is fruit, and why does it refer to it as fruit? Fruit is just, it's just something really good, isn't it? I think one reason it refers to it as fruit is because it is just something that grows from something else. It is something that a tree produces. We read about that in Psalms 1. It is something that a vine produces. And it's good stuff, isn't it? And so when the Lord begins to talk about those good things that God wants to give to you and me, folks, it's the fruit of righteousness. And James 3 says, the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. Righteousness brings forth fruit. This morning, if we want more fruit, we want to seek more of God, because that's where righteousness comes from. It doesn't come from us trying to turn over a leaf and be better. It turns from us humbling our hearts before God and taking upon ourselves His righteousness and taking upon ourselves His ways and departing from evil and loving the Lord with all of our heart. That's what righteousness is. And when we do that, then that's not us seeking just the fruit. That's us seeking the giver of the fruit. Now, once we get the giver of the fruit, and once we let Him work His ways in our life, you know the effect of that? It's just peace. The effect of it is to give us quiet habitations. It's to give us homes that have peace in them. It's to give us hearts that has peace in it. Hearts that have joy in them. Hearts that have meekness in them. Hearts that have some tolerance for other people. There's a lot that God wants to put in our heart. But it is an effect of His righteousness. It's something that comes from the Lord. And so this morning, I hope we can just be inspired. Folks, we want God to be paramount, don't we? We want we want the peace that He gives to us. We want that to go through the world, doesn't it? Don't we? Well, that comes from the Lord Himself. And so, as we look to the Lord and see here how this happens and what the Lord wants to happen, sometimes it's important for us to just understand what God really has in His mind. You know, people are constantly searching for the meaning of life. We picked up a man one time on the road, and he was hitchhiking to California. This was back in the Midwest somewhere. I don't remember where it was around in Oklahoma, in fact. And he was headed to California, and he said he was going to find himself. And you know, I've thought of that ever since then. That's been 30 years ago, probably. He'll never find himself. What he needs to find is the Lord. Psalms 1, let's look at that just a little bit. It says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight, see, it doesn't stop there. We can try to be good all we want to, but that's not good enough, because the fruit comes from the Lord. So we stop our wicked ways so that we can know the Lord, so that He will look our way. And so we stop the works of the flesh. We stop, we lay those aside. We come before the Lord, we repent. We turn from those things. But see here it says, but His delight, and this is where the fruit comes from. The fruit doesn't come from Him stopping, not standing in the way of sinners and all of that. That's where the Lord comes from. We turn to Him. But His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in His law doth He meditate day and night. And He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. This is the effect that it's going to be. Do you know that when we draw up to the Lord like that, and He becomes our meditation, and the Lord becomes the love of our life, do you know what's going to happen in your life? You're going to be like a tree, like not just like any tree, but like a tree that's planted by the rivers of water. And it says, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. Now, you all may not even comprehend this out here like we comprehend it back there, where we're from. But you know, all your trees are lush, it looks like. Everything grows. But go to Oklahoma, and I'll tell you what, you'll drive out through western Oklahoma and you'll see trees following a zigzag path down through there. And you know what it's following? It's following the water. And where that water is, that tree's growing. Now, you have plenty of water everywhere here. We don't have it so there. But He said that we, when we delight ourselves in the Lord, and we turn away, and we don't stand in the way of sinners, and we turn unto the Lord with all of our hearts, He said that we would be like a tree that's planted by the rivers of water. You drive out through there, and it's dead summer, and it's heat, and it's hot. And you see green trees, and they're just growing. They're in a zigzag line down there where the creek's going. And you find that there, they drink water, and they bear fruit. And do you know this morning, that's not just an illustration that the Lord gave. It's what He wants to be in our lives. He wants you and me to turn to Him with all of our heart and to let the meditation of the Lord be what drives our desires. Our desires are that we fulfill all the will of God. Our desire is that we live just like the Lord wants us to. And so it says that He would be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth His fruit in His season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever He doeth shall prosper. Now you plant that same tree 200 feet from that water, and it's liable to dry up, and there won't be a tree there after a while. But you know what? Where the water is, folks, the effect of it is that there's green leaves. The Lord wants us to plant ourselves by the water. He wants us to drink of His Word. Think about it. Meditate on it. When we get up in the morning, let it be what we spend our time with. I remember when I was young, and I don't say this to shame my father. I loved my father. I love my father. I wish he was here. But I remember how he, every morning, the radio was on and the table was spread with the newspaper and all of those things. But you know, as good as my dad was, I know he struggled spiritually a lot of times. Because that was his, he fed on that a lot more, I think, than on the Word of God. Do you know, if we're going to bear fruit, it's not going to come just by us trying real hard. It's going to come by us hooking up to the source and letting the Lord work in us and through us. And the effect of that, folks, will be peace. The effect of that will be quietness in our spirit and in our life. You long for a happy home? I talk to my children a lot of times like this, young people. And I don't say this boastfully. I'm telling you that because I'm getting ready to tell you what I told them. You know, you want a happy home? Do you? Do you want a happy life? Do you want a happy life? Do you hope to have something that when you come home that you find your spouse and you're still in love? Now, you've got to work at that. But do you hope for those things this morning? I want to tell you how to find those things. Get with the Lord and have it right there. And the fruit in your life and in your heart and in your home, if you both will do that, the fruit will be peace. The fruit will be strength. The fruit will be righteousness. It will be joy. It will be we'll look at the fruits of the Spirit in a minute. But it'll be that good thing that comes from those things. Now I want to look back where we started, or the second scripture, in James 3. To me, this is some of the most important scriptures of the Bible. And I mean that. In James 3, it says here, in 14 to 17, but if ye have bitter envying and strife in your hearts. Now listen to this. If you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, he says, glory not and lie not against the truth. this wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. Do you know that where the works of the flesh are, the enemy has every evil work? Do you know that's where divorce comes from? Do you know that's where fights come from? Do you know that's where, when we allow in our hearts the works of the enemy to work, folks, we cannot expect anything good to come from that. He said here, if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, don't glory in that. Don't lift that up. I have been in homes that was lifted up. And one person would say to another, and they would have a real smart crack, and then you'd hear them glorying in that. And then you would hear them saying what somebody said to somebody and how they smarted off to them and how it was just so, they just got right in their face. And you know what? There's no glory in that, is there? Do you know what that brings? It brings it back, doesn't it? And do you know what else it brings? It brings wars. It brings all the things we don't want. And the Lord is giving us a very simple gospel. He says, draw close to me. He says, make your habitation such that you think about my words. That what I'm telling you is paramount in your life. That's the big thing. And not your dreams. And not your fights. And not your wars. And all those things. He says here, listen to what it goes on to say. This is some of my favorite scriptures in the Bible. It says here, but the wisdom that is from above is first pure and then peaceable. Do you know what pure is? It means it's unmixed. Do you know when our wisdom gets mixed? When our wisdom gets mixed with anger, with resentments, with hostilities, with jealousies, with envyings, and all of those things. Folks, out of that, it says, is strife and confusion, and every evil work comes from those things. But he says the wisdom that's from above, what God's given us, he said it's first pure, it's not mixed. And then it's peaceable. Do you know that I have been amazed to find that not everybody believes that we need to be peaceable people all the time. Folks, there's a time to be plain. There's a time to be very direct with one another, but never out of the bounds of trying to be peaceable. And do you know, I have found that that is a concept that sometimes right in our midst we do not have and do not understand. There is always the wisdom from above, it says, is first pure. And then it's peaceable. And then it's gentle. Do you know the Lord wants us to be gentle people? That's not just for a certain personality. If you're wise, you'll be gentle. That's what it says. Now, where does this fruit come from? We got to dig for it sometimes, don't we? We got to draw up real close to the Lord. Young folks, you want a happy home? Learn these things. These are blessed things to have. There's just nothing like having a home that is enjoyable to be in. It comes from God. It comes from the hand of the Lord. It's what He wants you and me to have. But we have to unlearn some things that maybe we were taught wrong. And we have to learn of the Lord, don't we? And so He says here that it's first pure, that great wisdom from God. And then it's peaceable, and then it's gentle, and easy to be entreated. Do you know what that means? It simply means it's easy to approach you. It's easy for someone to come up and say, Dad, Mom, you're being overbearing. You know what? Is there a place for a child to be able to do that? Is that out of character? No, it's not out of character. We should always be ready to listen. Because so many times, those folks are telling us what we need to know. And we just don't see it. And maybe they're not 100% right, but they still have something we need most of the time. And so, you know, if we begin to call out to the Lord, "Lord, form me in your image. Teach me your thoughts and your ways." Do you know what these things bring? They bring the fruit. And that's what we want. And that's what we love. We had fruit this morning for breakfast. That was delicious. Those blueberries they picked, 70 pounds or so yesterday, picked them just in about a half an hour, they said. It was abundant. Wasn't that something? Rosie came back telling me how abundant the fruit was. It was just everywhere. It was so much that in 30 minutes we picked 70 pounds. Now, how could that be? You know, could it be that our lives could be loaded with good fruit? Could it be that God would change us to the point, and I say change because none of us come in loaded with fruit. But you know what? God wants to change us. He wants us to grow in grace and strength. And He wants our lives to have something of immense value. Something that somebody can come back and say, "That home is peaceful." Just when you go there, it's just something. You know what? The Lord wants it to be that way. Is that something that He wants that should be unusual? That's something that every one of us, if the mother and father of the home, if the members of the home will cooperate with it, do you know that's what we can have? Every single one of us today. So I thank God this morning. Folks, I want to learn of the Lord. The Lord said, "Come." He said, "All ye that are heavy laden," He said, "I'll give you rest." You know what He was talking about? These very things we're speaking of this morning. He'll give you rest. Sometimes I see people, I counsel with people, I know people, and their life is a foaming constancy of unrest. Folks, it don't have to be that way. The Lord came to bring us something so much better than that. He came to lade us with fruit and to give us something. We have a high mark to reach for, folks. There's something the Lord wants to give us today. It says, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruit. Now, some of us were raised in Christian homes and we're just used to mercy. But you know the world's not full of mercy. You go out in the world, and I'll tell you, you misstep in business and they'll take advantage of that. They got you. They gained another $20,000 because they were able to squeeze it out of you. That's the world. Implacable, unmerciful. But we live in a world, and the Lord has put us here to be lights to the world. This is our job. This is where God has put us. And it says, good, full of mercy and good fruits. Good fruits. I just want us to, I wish our mind could just expand on that. What kind of good fruits? What kind of good blueberries we got in our life? What kind of blackberries? What kind of oranges? And it's endless. The Lord made all of those things. And then He spoke to us about them. Your life can be full of good fruits this morning. Without partiality and without hypocrisy. Those things ruin it, don't they? They're a blight. It's not possible to have those things if we're partial and if we have hypocrisy in our lives. So I want to look on now. All these things are fruits of righteousness. Remember, there's confusion. 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 And every evil work follow the works of the flesh. Young folks, I'll tell you again, if you want a happy home, don't try to build it in a way that it can't be done. Don't try to build it in a way that you know you're going to fail. Build it starting now. I want to put these things, Lord, I open my life to You. Would You begin a work in me where my tree begins to grow, and a few years from now, it's producing a lot more fruit than it is today. Doesn't the Lord want it to be that way? I like to think of old people that have just sweetened through the years and become more and more gentle and more merciful and more like the Lord. Isn't that a beautiful picture this morning? It is to me. In Romans 14 and verse 15, it says this. Paul worked with a lot of different people. And he worked with Jews and he worked with Gentiles, and they didn't get along very good sometimes. And to one, they were sometimes like, you know, I don't... that's foolishness, you know, all that stuff that they do. The works of the law and all those things. But you know what? Paul saw that those Jews were raised in that. And he had some compassion on them, didn't he? And he said, "But if thy brother be grieved with thy meat, now walkest thou not charitably? Destroy not him with thy meat for whom Christ died. Let not then your good be evil spoken of. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness." How come that word righteousness is always connected up here? How come that it comes through that, doesn't it? The kingdom of God is righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. For he that in these things serveth Christ is acceptable to God and approved of men. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace and things wherewith one may edify another. I know this may not seem like some deep doctrinal thing, but folks, I want to tell you, this is where we win or lose. This is where we set the stage to learn the deeper doctrinal things. This is where, when we win in this area, we form a foundation, a building, a place where God can begin to fill it with all kinds of good things, His understandings. Do you know how much the Lord values peace? Now, it says there the kingdom of God is righteousness and peace and joy. That's what the Lord characterizes His kingdom as. Now, you know, when David passed the kingdom off back here in 1 Chronicles 22, and we find... That's 1 Chronicles 22 and 7. And we find him wanting to build a house for God. Do you know that God so values peace that even his wonderful servant David, he said, "You can't build my house, David, because you have shed a lot of blood." Now, he fought the Lord's wars, didn't he? Seems like David ought to be able to build the house of God, doesn't it? But you know what? The Lord wanted a man of peace to build his house. Because that's who God is about. That's who He is. I want to read that right quick in 22 and 7 to 11. And David said to Solomon, well, we'll start at 6. Then he called for Solomon his son and charged him to build an house for the Lord God of Israel. And David said to Solomon, "My son, as for me, it was in my mind to build an house unto the name of the Lord my God. But the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Thou hast shed blood abundantly, and hast made great wars, and thou shalt not build an house unto my name, because thou hast shed much blood upon the earth in my sight. Behold, a son shall be born to thee, who shall be a man of rest, and I will give him rest from all his enemies round about. For his name shall be Solomon, and I will give peace and quietness unto Israel in his days. He shall build an house for my name. And he shall be my son, and I will be his father, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom over Israel forever." You know, this morning, that had to be a great disappointment to David. It was just in his heart to build a house to the Lord. But the Lord wanted a man of peace to build his house. The Lord loves peace. I love the scripture in Isaiah 9. This is a beautiful scripture here, where it's speaking of the Lord coming. And it says, "For unto us a child is born. Who's that? Isn't that Jesus? Unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father. That tells you that God and Christ are one, doesn't it? The Prince of Peace, that's what he's called, the Prince of Peace. And so, if we want peace, folks, that's where we get it. The Prince has it, and he has the ability to give it to those in his kingdom, and he will. And so, of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Just have a few other places here I want us to look at. We're not quite done, though. I want to look at Titus 3 and 2. To 7, starting at 1, I guess. Put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work. In other words, live peaceably in your land, live peaceably under your rulers, to speak evil of no man. You know, this is a tall call, to speak evil of no man. I've been convicted about the way that at one time I spoke concerning the leaders of our land. They embarrass us, don't they, sometimes? They do wrong so many times. They allow and pass laws to allow things that God hates. And you wonder how they could do those things. Do you know the Lord tells us to respect them for their office sake? It tells us not to speak evil. Now, we can disagree, but you know what? The Lord doesn't want us to throw evil comments and to throw derogatory comments toward the leaders of our land. He wants us to, we're told, to pray for them. Pray for all that are in authority. And that's what we do. And do you know when we do it God's way, it has an effect. It works. To speak evil of no man, but to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish. You remember those days, folks? Do you remember the days when you were foolish? Paul just wants us to remember we don't have anything to boast of. I remember those days. Disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But after that the kindness and love of God our Savior toward men appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Lord, that being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Isn't that wonderful this morning? Folks, those people out there need more than our criticism. They need our hand. They need our love. They need the word of the Lord given to them. And sometimes that may be pretty hard on them. But I'll tell you what, they need it given in love. And they need our heart seeing them through eyes of compassion. Do you remember when we were out there? Do you remember when we were foolish? And we served divers lusts. I pretty much tried to live for the Lord from a child. But I look back at some of the things I did. I don't know what was in my mind. I still don't know what was in my mind. The flesh was having its way. That's what it was. But do you know this morning, the Lord has something so much better. Let's share the Lord with them. Let's share what we found to change our lives. And I personally believe that is the only hope America has, is to turn back to God. We could create a revolution and we might win, But I'll tell you what, it would not be but a few years and we'd be down in the mully grubs, if you want to call it that, again, because of sin and wickedness. It is righteousness that exalteth the nation. It is the Lord that gives righteousness. So this morning, let's look to Him to give us of those things. Now I want to look over here at a set of scriptures we're all very familiar with. Galatians 5 and 22. I'll start at verse 19. Now the works of the flesh, how come it keeps referring to the flesh as works and to the spiritual blessings as fruits? Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, looseness. You know, I did not realize, I have come to grips lately with where we really are as a nation. When I was sitting in a group and they told us 85% of the men view pornography in our United States today, that went like a dart into my heart. I have hurt for that ever since. I realized then the extent of wickedness that our country has already dipped to. The loss of the fear of God and the Spirit of the Lord upon people. Folks, that hurts. Don't think it's way out there. We deal with it right here. It's something that we want to run from. It gets a grip. Boys, it gets a grip on you. You better run for your life. You want a happy home? I'll tell you again. You want a happy home? You better run for your life. You better run unto the Lord. That's where it comes from. And these other places bring only distress and sadness. It brings violence. It brings vows that are broken. It brings broken hearts. That's what it brings this morning. Idolatry, witchcraft, works of the flesh, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, on every hand, all kinds of wicked things, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings. You know what it feels like when somebody has one of the members of their family murdered? Do you know that it causes them to want to hate? Do you know that it tempts them to hate? Do you know that it brings more violence? It brings more trouble to our country? The more we allow the places of the flesh in our country, in our lives, folks, the more our country suffers. We have got to put it aside. We've got to seek the fountain of living waters. Excuse me. That one, that out of that fountain proceeds a stream that comes from under the throne. And Jesus said it would usher out of us a fountain, how did He say that, of living water there in John. He speaks of it coming out of our lives. And that's what He wants it to have, fruit loaded in our lives. Can it be so? Is this something that is just a dream? It's something that is the work of God in our lives. It comes from those who live by the stream of water, who soak up the grace of God, and who are very honest with themselves when their wife says, "That wasn't very kind of you." You know what? Instead of us saying, "You deserved it," you know what? That's a place for us to say, "You are exactly right. Lord, have mercy on me." You know, honesty, and working with the Lord is the only way that we can have the good things of God this morning. Try not to be too much longer. Envyings, murders, drunkenness. Oh, you can't believe what I have seen drunkenness cost families. Revelings and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Folks, settle that in your hearts today. Don't ever go to and listen to a minister that tells you that because you were saved one time, that you will inherit the kingdom of God no matter how much of this garbage that you do in your life. The Bible plainly says you won't inherit the kingdom of God if you do these things. Settle it in our hearts. And don't even allow preachers to preach to us. Don't listen to them. For they'll infiltrate your mind. They'll break down barriers that you don't need broken down this morning. But the fruit of the Spirit, listen to this, is love. That's the fruit of the Spirit of God in our life and us drawing from the Lord and allowing His goodness to channel itself down into our lives. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy. These are the fruits that come from it. Folks, you want these kind of things in your life? This is where it comes from. Right here. It comes from the Lord. Love, joy, peace. Oh, peace. We've been talking about it, haven't we? People long for it. Long-suffering, gentleness. Isn't it wonderful when you work with somebody and they have allowed the Lord to work with them and they have allowed other people to tell them their needs until they are gentle, till they've worked off a lot of those rough edges and things like that? I believe in that. I believe it's a growth process that we start and the Lord puts a gentle spirit in us, and we have to learn those ways, don't we? We have to relearn our life. Gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. There isn't any law that can be enacted against these things. There isn't any place these things won't work. You can always use them. Even somebody that has to come down hard on someone else. And sometimes you do. As a parent. As a boss on a job. Sometimes you have to be very direct and straight. But you know what? They should always know. This man cares about me. This woman cares about me. They're not just venting in such a way that they would like to just tear me up. That is our job, folks. And the Lord wants to fill our lives with that kind of fruit. Meekness and temperance, against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. I have one more place, Lord willing, that we want to read and draw some things, because to me, in John, the 15th chapter, it speaks of the vine and the fruit. And if we want the fruit, it's going to come this way. And if we don't get it this way, it's not coming. It says here, I am the true vine. Jesus said that. He said, I'm the true vine. And my Father is the gardener. My Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, I want us to get a hold of this. He taketh away. Do you know if we don't bear fruit, there will be a time that the Lord will take us away. And there will be a time that He'll cut that dead stuff off. And we might still claim to be part of the vine. But we need to be sure we bear fruit. Every branch that beareth fruit, He purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. It is the Lord that gives us a clean heart. It is Him that purges us through the Holy Spirit. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. Isn't that blessed words of truth this morning? Lord, let me abide in you. I want to bear fruit. I want to be able to overcome self. I've been disappointed at times. And you know what I just have to do? Just go tell the Lord about it. Lord, I need you to help me. I really need you to help me to be more patient. I need you to help me to be more kind with my tongue. I need you to help me to be full of your fruits. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. Do you realize that this morning? We can try as hard as we want, but what we really need to do is get up close to the Lord and drink from him, pray to him, seek him. We might have to do some fasting sometimes. We might have to search. But I believe that when we do that, we'll be found of him. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and I abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. You know the Lord wants us to bear much fruit. He wants us to bear faith. You know, he said, if you abide in me and I abide in you, you'll ask what you will and it will be done unto you. There's a close relation that the Lord wants us to have with him. And folks, it's for those that will. It's for all that will come unto him, and he'll give us eternal life in our soul and these good things. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. I just want to leave that with us this morning. The Lord just started talking to me, and I waited a long time. I want to bear fruit in my life. Folks, I long for the Lord to give us each one that kind of life. Not just the experience at the altar, but this is something where we have to set our heart on him. We have to hook up to the vine and drink from him and do his will and search ourselves and cut off those things that need cut off and be honest with the Lord and with ourselves and with others. And you know, as we search for God like that, I want to tell you something. Something wonderful begins to happen. Like a tree planted by the rivers of water. That's what begins to happen. Whose fruit comes in a season. And his leaf doesn't wither. Pray for me.